Da 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 da. Good evening. It's time for another chapter of Bedtime Stories with Thompson. So snuggle up and get ready to listen to
chapter 5. Robinson Makes a Canoe.
From our book, The Adventures of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. Even though Robinson was in his fourth year on the island, he had never forgotten the glimpse of land he had caught 2 years before while he was exploring the western shore. His home was built and his crops were growing well. Robinson now had time to think about a voyage to that mysterious land across the sea. Perhaps it just might lead to an escape for him. So Robinson decided to build a boat. He remembered that the natives in Brazil had made canoes from the trunks of large trees. He would try it too. He found a large cedar tree whose trunk was 6 feet thick. It took him 20 days just to chop it down, and another 14 days to cut away its branches. Then he spent a month shaping the bottom so it would float, and 3 months clearing out the inside with a hammer and an axe. At the end of 5 months, Robinson had a boat big enough to fit 20 men. He was delighted with his work, but he hadn't considered before he started how he would get his boat to water. The boat lay 100 yards from the creek, but it might as well have been 100 miles. The boat was too heavy for one man to push, so Robinson was forced to give up the idea of launching his boat. But he did learn a lesson from his 5 months of work. That lesson was to plan ahead before beginning any other project. If he ever built another boat, it would be much smaller and lighter, and it would be built much closer to the water. Robinson turned his attention next to his clothing. 4 years of living in the same pants and shirts he had taken off the ship had worn them into rags. Even though there was no real need to wear clothing in such a hot climate, especially since there were no other people around, still Robinson could not bring himself to walk around naked. The heat of the sun often burned and blistered his skin and gave him such headaches that he had to wear pants, a shirt, and a cap at all times. But as his clothes were now rotting, Robinson had to try making new ones. The only material he had to work with was the skins of animals he had caught. He stretched these skins and dried them in the sun. Those that stayed soft, like goat skins, could be shaped and sewn into garments. First, he made a high cap with a flap hanging down over his neck and the back. The fur on the outside kept him dry during the heavy rains and kept the hot sun from burning his head and neck. Seeing that this worked so well, Robinson tried making himself a suit of clothes out of these skins. He made a loose waistcoat, a kind of long vest, and pants down to his knees. He held everything together with a goatskin belt. But this belt also served another purpose, for he was able to hang his saw and hatchet from it. A second belt, this one slung over his shoulder, gave him a place to tie his pouches of gunpowder. To complete his outfit, Robinson made himself a pair of something which looked like laced sock boots. Considering that he was no tailor, just as he had been no farmer or hunter or carpenter, Robinson was quite proud of his new clothes. They fit fairly well, kept him dry when it rained, and made him look like some fierce, frightening creature. Not that there was anyone on the island to frighten. Next, Robinson set about making himself an umbrella. The need for protection from the hot sun, as well as from the heavy rains, made an umbrella necessary. After 2 or 3 failures, Robinson finally managed to make an umbrella from branches covered with goatskin. It opened and closed easily, so he could carry it about with him. At the end of his 5th year on the island, Robinson decided to try making another canoe. His first one lay where he had built it and served as a reminder to him to be wiser this time. Robinson had learned his lesson well, and his second canoe was smaller and lay close to the water. This time he had no problem launching it. Although the canoe was not big enough to take him on a voyage across the sea to the land he had seen, it was certainly big enough to take him on a tour around his island. Robinson fitted out a little mast and made a sail out of some pieces left over from his ship's sails. He then built a locker on one side of the boat to store his food, his gun, and his ammunition. The locker would protect them from the sun, the rain, and the spray of the sea. Then Robinson fastened his umbrella to the stern of the boat where it would serve as an awning for him as he sailed. After several test sails in the creek, Robinson was ready to try his canoe in the sea. His 6th year was beginning as he set sail towards the east. Ahead of him lay a great ledge of rocks stretching out about 6 miles into the sea. Past the rocks, a sandbar extended out about another 3 miles. This presented a problem. It meant that Robinson would have to sail at least 9 miles out to sea to get around the rocks and the sandbar. He wasn't sure how well his canoe would do that far out to sea. So Robinson pulled into shore just before the rocks and tied up his boat. He climbed a hill which overlooked the sea. From this high place, Robinson was able to get a better view of the sea around him. With the help of his spyglass, he discovered a furious current beyond the rocks and sandbar. Robinson feared that if he tried to sail around them, he would be caught up in the current and carried so far out to sea that he would never be able to return ashore again. But Robinson Crusoe was a daring sailor. He would fight the current. And for many hours, that is exactly what he did. The current was more violent than he expected, and no amount of paddling with his oars could fight it. After 5 hours, just when he thought his arms would drop from his shoulders, Robinson felt a breeze come up and push him away from the current. But he had no way of knowing in which direction he was being pushed. He could no longer see the island, and he had not brought his compass with him. But the clouds that had been overhead all day finally broke up, and the sun shone through. Its position in the sky told Robinson he was heading north. With the wind blowing, Robinson could now spread his sail and be carried along. After several hours, the northern shore of the island came into view, and Robinson was able to land. After he had eaten and slept a while, Robinson had to figure out how to get back to his side of the island. It was too risky to attempt it in his canoe the way he had come. But going back on the west side of the island might be dangerous as well, since he had no way of knowing what the sea was like there. So he decided to pull his canoe up on land, tie it securely, and return home on foot. Even though he hated to be without the canoe after all his months of hard work, Robinson simply wasn't interested in any more exciting adventures for the moment. So taking only his gun and his umbrella, Robinson began his long march along the shore towards home. End of chapter 5. Boy, that was exciting, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to do with all these boats he's leaving around the island?
I think he's going to put them in a lodge or something, I would say. Because the restaurant people way out in the westerns always do that with their boats. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I've never heard of the western people. All right. We'll see you next week or tomorrow or the next time, anyway, for Chapter 6, The Mysterious Footprint, here on Bedtime Stories with Thompson. Good night.
Good night.